Good morning, everybody. It's great to be back. I was on vacation last week, so that's why you didn't see me. And it was wonderful. Go over here. This good? Perfect. Anyway, today we're going to be reading out of Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 1, going through verse 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And so ends today's reading. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most loving and gracious Father, we come to you with humble prayers and petitions today. Lord, we ask for blessings for our nation, Lord, for the to unite us all together, Lord. We ask for not only this for our nation, for the world, but also for our town of Phillipsburg, Lopatcong area, and also for our county. Lord, we pray for all of the leaders that are in charge. We know that you placed them there. And Lord, we ask for blessing on them to give them guidance and discernment when they're making any of their decisions. And Father God, as the school year is ready to start, we ask for your blessing on those parents that are still at home that are going to be helping to homeschool, for the teachers, the administrators, and all of that. Lord, we just ask for your blessings and for guidance for them and for the perseverance that we talk about in this, just to continue to persevere with this learning situation. And loving God, I saw the most recent prayer request list that came out, and it's growing. And Lord, so I ask for the continued perseverance for our prayer warriors, those ones that are on the Phillipsburg Alliance Church staff here, and also the folks that are just part of this whole prayer chain, Lord. We ask that you just let us be able to pray earnestly, Lord, to give all that we have into this, as that healing service was this past Sunday. And Father God, pray for our military, we pray for our governments, we pray for just peace and unity throughout the world. And Father, as Pastor Randy comes forward to preach this message that you have laid on his heart, I just ask that your Holy Spirit come down and anoint him, and let your words be his words. And we ask this all in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord that the wind isn't crazy this time. If you were here last week, you know my papers were flying everywhere and it was very distracting. But you all stayed laser focused. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you doing that again today. Amen? You guys aren't even laser focused right now. Hi. We live in an angry time. Amen? Houses are divided. Friendships are split. A lot of people getting mad about a lot of things. And a lot of triggers out there. A lot of hot buttons. A lot of them which weren't around a year ago. The idea of whether or not you should wear a mask or a hazmat suit everywhere you go. or whether or not you should not wear a mask, or whether or not you should send your kids to school, or you should put them in a hybrid scenario, or whether or not you should put them on a bus or take them in your car, or whether or not you should go into a store or not go into a store, whether or not you open up a business, a restaurant, a gymnasium, whether that's fair. All these health issues. We've got the political ones. We've got the health ones. We've got the religious ones. We've got so many things that you just begin a conversation and people get very heated, very angry. And like I said, a lot of these weren't even around 6-8 months ago. There is one hot button that doesn't get much press. But when people start to relate something about it, and there's somebody who has a quick fix about it, all of a sudden the people start to seethe inwardly. Maybe they don't yell at the person because they're trying to help. And it's the issue of your pain. It's the issue of your hardships and what you're going through. And when you start to share some things with others and they're not empathetic, they're not sympathetic, and they're not listening to you, they're only listening to for a break so that you can fix their problem, before you know it, people get very angry. The idea of dealing with somebody's hardship and their difficulties, their trials in their life, and you all have them, we all have them, is one of those hot buttons, but it has to be addressed. In fact, the Apostle Paul, on death row, as he's talking to Timothy, says, listen, as you see the Lord approaching, as in view of his appearing, I want you personally to pay attention to four areas of your life. Last week, we touched on the first one. That is to be sober-minded in everything. The second one, he says, endure hardships. Then he says, do the work of an evangelist. Then he says, discharge all the duties of your office. Now, I believe Paul's words to Timothy 2,000 years ago are his words to us. We have to endure hardship. Now, if I tell the audience this big, you have to endure hardship, I know already there's triggers going up. You're saying, Pastor, you have no idea what hardships I've been through in the last month or 6 months or a year. You have no idea. So how dare you say things like endure hardship, like I haven't been enduring it? Or maybe you're saying, Pastor, please speak to this issue, because I have been going through so much. Talk to me about what the Bible says about enduring hardships. So that's where we're going to go today. It's a very important message, especially in view of his appearing as hardships increase. Are you with me? All right. We're going to pray and get right into it. Loving Father, we thank you once again for your presence here. We thank you for your holy word that guides us into every step we ought to take. Lord, we thank you for this body of believers who have come to encourage one another and to worship together their Savior and Lord. Father, we thank you that you've already promised so many things to us. And one of the things is that you would never leave us or forsake us. So as we go through this time, Lord, we ask that you would bless us, that you would speak to us, that you would use me as your instrument, that you would work a miracle somehow from my lips to the hearer's ears. And may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to dismiss myself for just 30 seconds. Okay, I'm back. One of the problems about being outdoors is you get bugs down your shirt. So I'm sorry about that. Just didn't want to be too rude there. Many months ago, I preached a message where I said one of the things that really annoys me, especially when I'm talking to someone about issues that I'm having, some problems that I'm going through, or maybe some difficulties even within the church, and somebody is just chomping at the bit to say, Pastor, you know what you should do. I hate it. I hate people who haven't really experienced what I've been experiencing, just already have the solution to something that I've been wrestling with for years. I've thought about all the things you're about to spew from your mouth, and I've tried a lot of them, and it doesn't work. So don't give me a fast answer and say, Pastor, you know what you should do. You haven't been listening. But I got to tell you, somebody who may respond by saying something like this, Pastor, I may have a little bit of a handle on what you're going through, possibly. You see, I went through the exact same thing just a few years ago. I had problems with my children, or with my marriage, or with my health, or with my job, or with my finances, or whatever it is that you have an issue with. I've been there. You know what my response to that is? What did you do? Talk to me. What worked? What didn't work? How did you get through it? And I'd be willing to listen. This is kind of the Apostle Paul's thing. Let me tell you something. I was involved in an accident 15 years ago. We're in a big SUV that I was driving with my six-month-old son. I hit a pedestrian who jumped out in front of my car just as I was getting on the highway. I knocked her to the ground, and she was bleeding from her ear. And I thought, oh my gosh, maybe I killed her. And she was aroused a little bit, so I knew I didn't kill her, but I didn't know what damage I had done. And for about a week solid, I got zero sleep. And the police officer, after he had done all of his tests on me, he said, would you mind going with me to the hospital and do some blood work? I hadn't had a drink in 30 years. I didn't take any drugs or anything, and I knew that was good. And I said, sure, no problem. He got me in his cruiser, and he started taking me over to the hospital. And you know what he said to me? He said, let me tell you something. The same thing happened to me. I hit a pedestrian. And all of a sudden, I was focused on what he had to say. I'd never had this happen to me. Son, I went through the same thing. He said, people come out of nowhere. And before you know it, you hit a pedestrian. And he started sharing with me, and he calmed me. It wasn't just somebody who came as a police officer and said, you know, it's all going to be okay. Or even a religious person said, you know, God's in control. It's going to be good. He said, it happened to me. And this is where we are. This is where we are with the Apostle Paul. When Paul tells Timothy to endure hardship, you need to recognize that Paul's already gone through a lot. He says, in view of God's appearing, in view of Christ's appearing, you need to endure hardship, and I know of what I speak. I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you brought them with you, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, understand something. Timothy knows Paul very well. Paul is in prison, but he's able to be visited. Timothy is asked to bring his cloak. He's asked to bring his scrolls with him or his parchments. So Timothy's able to visit him. Timothy knows what Paul looks like. And if you allow me a little bit of latitude here, he sees his broken nose. He sees his gnarled up body. He sees him bent over with arthritis from joints and bones that haven't healed properly. And why do I say that? If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I know many of you are familiar with this passage, but Paul gives him an idea. Listen, I know what it's like to go through hardship. And if you look at verse 21, I'm going to go halfway through the verse. It says, whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I'm speaking as a fool, he says, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder. I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. That means 39 lashes if you didn't realize that. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. You getting the point? I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? My goodness, he's been through so much suffering, so much suffering. Can you imagine having gone through that and what your body would look like without the hospitals of today? What you would look like after having been beaten so many times? I told the story last night. I'll tell it again. When I was just a lad, I was in kindergarten, and I was at a babysitter's house. My mom was working, and the babysitter came up to me, and she said, listen, I'm going to go out and get the mail. Now, don't you jump around in my house. Well, as soon as she went down that sidewalk toward the mailbox, you know what I did? Well, I didn't know what she meant. She meant not horsing around. I just started jumping in place. Talk about a rebel's heart, right? So I jumping up and down, and then when she came, I stopped, and she came through the door, and she said, "Were you jumping around in my house?" And I said, "No." And she said, "I saw the house shake." I'm a kindergarten boy. Well, I was busted, and I had to sit on a bench right next to the front door, and I had to sit on that bench until my mother came. Well, my mother found out that I had lied, and she told my dad. Well, my dad came home. When he found out, he took off his belt. I don't know if you know what that means. For those of you who don't know what a woodshed is, I crawled up in my bed, and I put the blankets over me, and he commenced with striking me 3 times with the belt through the blanket, which I never felt. But I screamed as if I did. So he stopped pretty quickly. He had some mercy. But he hit me 3 times through a blanket. Not a problem. I could not imagine being a man laid down, sprawled out on the floor, which is how they did it, and have someone lash my back with great vigor 39 straight times. And then to have that happen 5 times to me, and to be pelted with stones, and to be left for dead out in the city as they got done stoning me, and to have all those things happen. Paul says, listen, I understand what hardship is about. In fact, it even goes beyond that. If you go to the first chapter of the exact same letter in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, listen to me. He says this, "We do not want you to be uninformed, my brothers and sisters." This is again 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. "About the troubles that we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we actually have received this, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." I want to repeat one little line because I was killing the bug that was in my arm as he was crawling up my arm during that, and I got distracted. I hope you didn't. Are you listening? We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of living. Some of you have heard it over and over again that God never gives you more than you can endure. That is such a bunch of malarkey. That's such a bunch of baloney. Of course he gives us more than we can endure, so that the body of Christ will bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If he never gave us more than we could handle, then no one else would ever have to help us with our burden. Amen? And here's another illustration where the Apostle Paul, who had gone through so much agony, says, listen, we had gone through such great pressure at one time. And he's talking about the whole group of disciples there. He says, we were under so much pressure, more than we could bear, so that we despaired of living. I don't know if you've ever been there. My point in all this is to say, listen, the Apostle Paul, when he says to endure hardships, he's talking from a place of experience. He's saying, listen, I understand how you are feeling, but in view of Christ's appearing, you got to make sure that you are able to endure hardships. Are you with me, church? I want to talk about this for a little bit. When he talks about enduring hardships, I don't think he's talking about the regular hardships that the world has as well. When Adam and Eve sinned, that point when Adam abdicated his role as authority and didn't stop Eve from conversing with the serpent and taking the fruit, he just kind of stood there and watched it all happen. Then he participated. From that moment on, everything fell apart. And we know that pain and sorrow and misery came in, and so did death. But that happens to everybody in the world. I've been in a lot of places and I've seen a lot of suffering. You guys have too. And the point is this, that sometimes what we see as evil in the world affects what we would consider the innocents, the little children who really haven't done anything wrong, but because of that sin that came through Adam, everything is a mess and there's a lot of hardship. I don't think the Apostle Paul, when he says, in view of Christ's appearing, endure hardship, is talking about the same kind of hardships that the rest of the world has. I think he's talking about the hardships that are really a part of being a Christian. Because listen to me. That 2 Corinthians chapter 11 passage where he said, this happened to me, and this happened to me, and this happened to me, all happened after he came to faith in Christ. Paul was living the good life. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He had power, he had authority, he was growing up that ladder. Maybe one day he would be a high priest or the chief priest. He was working his way up as he was tearing people from their families and putting them in prison and putting them to death because they were followers of the way. He had the good life, and then all of a sudden Jesus meets him. What happens? He gets blinded. That's the first encounter with Jesus. He gets blinded. And then he goes off blind with his friends off to a person's house, and the Lord speaks to this guy, says, Ananias, I want you to go to this guy's house, and I want you to put your hands on this guy named Saul, and he's going to receive his sight, but he's also going to realize, he's going to find out how much he must suffer for my name. And I believe it's the thorn in his flesh that he begs Jesus to remove, and he says, no, but my grace will see you through. See, Paul understands that when you come to faith in Christ, things can be very, very difficult. Jesus said that we would be hated by all people groups. In fact, he said, the enemies of a man will be the members of his own household. My goodness, we see that even today. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. He came to divide households. You think that everything's going to be honky-dory when you come to faith in Jesus and your family's going to come together and be really tight and sing kumbaya? Jesus said, I'm here to divide it. I come with a sword. Members of your own house will be your enemies. So as we consider Paul's words to persevere in difficult times, I want to highlight three things. Can I do that? You still with me, church, for just a few more minutes? Okay, the first thing is recognize that your suffering, that your hardships, your difficulties and trials are here to stay. You're not going to get rid of them. You're going to endure them. You're going to persevere through them. But they're not going away. There's a friend of mine and her husband who are ministers in a kind of an interesting church. And I got to tell you, I saw a video recently where they went up. And like I say, it's an interesting church. She went up there with a staff in her hand and she pounded on the platform. And together they chanted about racism. And they said, basically, thou shalt not pass about 5 times. And what they were saying is, from this moment on, we declare in Jesus' name, that racism will never be a part of the ecclesia, the church, again. I'm thinking, really? Really? You're going to get up there and you're going to chant something, you're going to proclaim something, and that's going to be the end of it? Why wasn't that done 2,000 years ago then? And I'm going to step on some toes here, I know this, but listen to me. If Satan can be bound by a Christian, then why wasn't he bound 2,000 years ago? He can't be bound. You say, well, what about the passage of Scripture that says, whatsoever things are bound on earth will be bound in heaven, whatsoever things are bound in heaven will be bound on earth. Let me tell you something, it's already has been, is the actual tense in the Greek. Whatsoever you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. Whatsoever is bound in heaven has already been bound on earth, and Satan is not bound. He has free reign. He can run around anywhere he wants throughout the earth. That's where Jesus cast him. Are you following me? Because I got to tell you, if we could actually bind Satan, then, man, a lot of the garbage that we see would not be around. We just bind him. No, there's coming a day when he will be bound for 1,000 years. But not yet. You know, the Bible doesn't say, listen, submit to God, submit to God, bind the devil. No, it says submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. My point is that difficult days are here to stay until we see Jesus face to face, and God who sits on the throne wipes away every tear from our eyes and says, now there will be no more death, and there will be no more mourning, and there will be no more crying or pain, for the old order is gone. I'm making everything new. The curse is done. But up until that point, we have to endure hardship. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter, if you will. I hope I haven't lost you. 1 Peter chapter 4. Here Peter is speaking to an audience that is on the run. They are called the diaspora. They are scattered ones throughout all the area, and they have been on the run because they're being persecuted. And 1 Peter chapter 4, and starting with verse 12, Peter says, dear friends, Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of God, of glory and of God rests upon you. I'm going to go over just a couple of chapters to the beginning in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Peter begins his letter saying, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. But these trials have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." The difficulties you're going through are to test your faith. How many people say, "I'm a follower of Jesus," but then they hit the wall and they give it all up? The difficult days tear them apart. Paul in Romans chapter 5, our brother read, thank you, Adam, for reading that. In Romans chapter 5, very, very weird verses if you're hearing them for the very first time. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, says this, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we know, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. But not only this, we also glory in our sufferings." Is that the weirdest statement you ever heard? We get excited about our sufferings, our difficulties, our hardships. I don't know of a single person who really says, "I am so excited about the difficulties." He says, listen, "We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And this hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." We go through the suffering. We're excited about the suffering because we know it produces something. Back in the day, as my son would say, I guess it was the early 90s, there was a poster that came out. And there was, I hope this is not too crude, but there was a young man. And he was well built. And he had his shirt pulled up. He had workout shorts, and he was sitting on a bench, a workout bench, and he pulled his shirt up over his face so you couldn't see his face. You see his arms, and his arms were big, and his chest was big, and he had a six-pack like I have, and it was just, mine's just well-insulated, people. But he looked great, and the poster said, "No pain, no gain, body by Soloflex." Maybe you've seen it years ago. Well, there's a counter to that. There's another one that came out as a spoof. And it had this fellow that was grossly overweight. And he was sitting on a beer keg. And he had his shirt pulled up over his face like this. And everything was hanging out. And it said, "No pain, no pain, body by Budweiser." That's the truth. That's the truth. Without the pain, you're not going to get the gain. I tell you what, I go into gyms all the time, and I said, man, I wish I used to. A long time ago. I used to go in and I said, man, I wish I had that physique. But I realized this guy's going through an awful lot of pain to get that physique. You go through suffering, it produces something powerful in you. It produces perseverance, hupomene, ability to stand up underneath the pressure. And that then character and hope. So we're instructed to endure, and it's meant to purify us and strengthen us. That's the first thing. Two more quick things. Number one, as we go through these, as we go through these trials, know that it's during these times of trials, even though you may not like them, these times of trials, when we get closer and more intimate with Christ. How many times? Do you remember 9/11? Shortly after that, I guess it was 9/12, 9/13 maybe, you know, our country was under attack, and we didn't know what was going to happen. We had three different locations that were under attack at that point, and all of a sudden, Democrats, Republicans, independents, and whatever party you might associate with, all of a sudden found themselves on the Capitol steps singing God Bless America together. It united them, but it not only united the country, saying, listen, now we got to stop fighting amongst ourselves. We got a different enemy now, but they also were drawn to God and said, God, please bless us. Please protect us. All of a sudden, the God that they threw out was now back in focus. They were hurting. It was a time of trouble. Time of difficulty and hardship, but it brings us together. Listen, Tim Keller, who is a wonderful pastor at Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York, wrote a book called Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. And this is a paraphrase because I loaned the book to somebody, and if you're out there, please give it back. I loaned the book to somebody, and I don't know who it was, and I never got it back. It's a wonderful book, Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. And this is a paraphrase because I'm trying to remember the quote verbatim, but I did the best I can. He says, so often Christians are quick to pray that God will take away the difficulties rather than asking him to take them into a deeper walk with him through it. Did you hear that? So often we say, God, please just take away the pain. And we do it pretty quickly as soon as the pain starts. And that seems normal. You want the pain to stop. You want the hardship to go away. You want a quick fix. And God said, but wait a minute. I want to produce something in you. I want to give a closer walk with me through this. David said in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the what? The valley of roses, right? Now, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you're with me. There's something that is so tangible about God. You can feel his presence when you're going through the deepest, darkest valley. It's the time when you get closest. There was a man who was in our church years ago, had lung cancer. He had two slits in the back of his, where they entered into his lungs to take out the malignant cells. And for a while, he was doing pretty good. And then he gave testimony in our church. And he said, you know what? I missed the cancer. And we all thought, man, that doesn't sound like a normal statement. Most people praise the Lord that the cancer's gone. He said, but I got to tell you, I've never been closer to the Lord than when I realized I was dying. And then he said, now that I'm better, I've drifted. And I think this is what happens when we have been blessed over and over again, oftentimes, especially this country, man, we get blessed by God. And before you know it, we think that we did it on our own. This is what happened to the church in Laodicea. The church in Laodicea is the last church of the seven churches mentioned in the book of Revelation. And they are doing what? They would love the Lord at one point. They're the church. They're the followers of Jesus at one point. But then the things of the town, which was very wealthy, started creeping into the church. And before you know it, they became self-sufficient. And they said, I don't need a thing. And before you know it, you got Christ on the outside of the church knocking on the door saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will let me into the church, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. What on earth is he doing outside? They had become self-sufficient. God had blessed them over and over and over again. And before you know, when God blesses us so much, we forget about him. Do you follow me, church? But it's in the times of difficulties that we draw close to him. J. Oswald Sanders, perhaps one of my favorite authors, quoted him many times. This is my favorite quote of all quotes outside of the scriptures. In his book, Enjoying Intimacy with God. Now, if I say this is my favorite quote, you better be paying attention. Amen? He says this, and this is a direct quote. He says, it is we and not God who determine the degree of intimacy with him that we enjoy. I said, wait a minute. God determines everything. Listen to me. It is we and not God who determine the degree of intimacy with him that we enjoy. We are at this moment as close to God as we really choose to be. True, there are times when we would like to know a deeper intimacy, but when it comes to the point, we are not prepared to pay the price involved. The qualifying conditions are more stringent and exacting than we are prepared to meet, so we settle for a less demanding level of Christianity. Hard words to hear. The reality is when you say, man, I want a deeper walk with Jesus, and we sing that song, right? Just a closer walk with thee, right? Well, we used to sing it. Just a closer walk with Jesus. We say it, but the reality is we are at this moment as close to Jesus as we choose to be because we recognize if we take that next step, it may cost us our family. It may cost us our reputation. It may cost us our friends. It may cost us something. We say, you know what? This is really good. This is comfortable. I like this level. I can enjoy Jesus. I can enjoy all the world at the same time. Let me tell you something. I've always been as physically fit as I choose to be. Now, I might say, man, I'd like to be fitter, if that's a word. I'd like to be in better shape. But the reality is that means I have to put the work in, right? That means I have to run, I have to lift, I have to do all these things, and I don't want to do that. So you know what? I'll settle for this. That's the way it is, and that's the way we are. Sometimes we settle for a mediocre relationship with Christ, but I'm telling you, he will bring suffering and hardships into your life to draw you into a deeper walk with him. Don't ask him to take it away so quickly. C.S. Lewis wrote this, and some of you know C.S. Lewis, great prolific writer of the middle 20th century. Some of you know him from the Chronicles of Narnia, the movie series or the book series. He writes this, God whispers to us in our pleasure. He speaks to us in our conscience, but he shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. I believe the trials are coming and they're going to purify the body of Christ, but they're also going to draw us closer to him. Last thing, and then we're done. The hardships we endure not only bring us closer to Jesus, but they bring us closer to each other. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When you're going through a tough time, you got to tell somebody. You got to tell somebody in the body of Christ so we can help bear that burden. You know, the enemy just laughs when you keep it all in. Be a little bit vulnerable. It's kind of scary because I've been vulnerable from time and again. I've said, listen, I don't want you to say this to anybody. And next time I turn around, half the world knows. But that's the risk you run when you be vulnerable with your hardships. Galatians 2, chapter 6, verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. But I want to also emphasize this. It also says, each one of you should carry your own load. Don't expect me to bear your burden if you're doing nothing. If you're sitting back and you're not working at this, I'm not going to work. I'm not going to do the work for you. But there's a point where Paul says the burden was so great, the pressure was so great, greater than we could endure so that we despaired of living. There's a point where, yes, you're carrying your own load, but the burdens of life are more than you can handle. And you reach out and say, body of Christ, would you help me? Would you love me? And would you help bear my burden? Verse 10 of the same chapter says this, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the household of faith. Did you hear that? We're supposed to prefer each other over the world. You say, that doesn't sound like Christ. It is. Listen to me. The world will come at itself. It'll come after you. But it'll come after the church. The church will deal with the regular sufferings of this world, but it'll also suffer the attacks of the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's under more attack than the world. And so we need to help each other as we're being attacked, as we're undergoing hardships. So reach out to the body of Christ and bear as much as you can. Remember Paul's words when he said, we despaired of living. He said, talking about Christ, he said, on him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. I don't know if you heard that. We despaired of living. It was too great. The pressure was so great, but he's going to deliver us, but he's going to deliver us with your involvement. On him, we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on behalf of for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Last thing, and I'm done. Thank you for your patience. Can I tell you what you should do? I love it. Can I tell you what you should do? I can tell you what you should do because I'm just going to quote the scriptures. As you pray for one another, God moves. He says, we were able to endure this all, and God delivered us because you prayed. But as you pray, I'm going to take you to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews says this. When you pray, I want you to pray this way. I want you to pray for the person who's in prison. As if you yourself were in prison. And I want you to pray for those who were mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. Empathize. Try to put yourself into that person's shoes as you pray. Sometimes when I pray, even at the prayer meetings, I can't get through the prayer that I'm praying over the person as I've anointed them with oil because I start to cry. I can't even imagine going through what they're going through, and I can't get through my prayer that's supposed to help them. But I try my best to put myself into that position. Paul tells Timothy, in light of Jesus coming, endure hardship. Endure hardship. Because I got to tell you, as Jesus comes, the hardships are going to increase. And as Jesus says, many will abandon the faith because of the difficulty of the day, Matthew 24. Perhaps those people who abandoned the faith were not willing to endure the hardships. I pray you will. I'm going to give you quick things. Remember the promises of God. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Can you say amen? Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Can you say amen? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like on wings like eagles. Can you say amen? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. You're going to have the hardships. You got to endure, but we endure them as one united church. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us every single day. We thank you for your presence in the midst of our difficulties and our hardships, that you allow us to persevere, that you make us stronger, that you draw us into your presence through difficulties. You're calling for us to walk with you in a deeper walk. And Lord, that you raise up the body of Christ when the body of Christ is hurting. So Lord, I pray that would be the case here in Phillipsburg Alliance Church. I pray that we would bear one another's burdens, that we would not give up, that we would not despair of living, that we would not do something that those who without Christ oftentimes do. And let's just cash it in. Father, I pray that we would be sensitive to one another, that we wouldn't have that quick fix answer, but that we would empathize and sympathize and just pray and listen. Now, Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be with this family. And I pray that none of my flesh crept into this. And if it did, Lord, I pray that it would be quickly forgotten. I pray that only the things of you would remain. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, church. I'm going to ask that you would stand for a closing benediction. Hear the words of the Lord. Oh, and there is one other thing. I'll make the announcement afterwards. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Lord bless you. Don't go anywhere. Just for one second, there are food boxes over there in that open van. Please help yourself. First come, first serve. Don't hurt anybody on the way over. Praise the Lord. Have a great week. Love you guys.